Let's go back to housing and homelessness. And there is a Raise the Roof housing protest today. And one of the people marching in it will be the actor Liam Cunningham. And Liam joins me now. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning, Brendan.
Why are you marching today?
Because of the state of the nation, basically. I suppose simplistically, it would be down to the breaking of the social contract, which basically states that if you try hard, you do well in school, try and get a good job, be entrepreneurial, be whatever it may be, is that you should reap the benefits of being able to get a home, be able to kiss your children on the forehead and wrap them up at night and not worry about whether that's going to be taken off you or whether you're going to be made homeless or whether just something should be affordable.
And you think this generation does not have that hope, does not have that bargain with
society? Oh, they absolutely don't. It's funny to look at the news over the last while about the amount of doctors that are packing their bags as they wait for their graduation to get out of here because they can't afford a home. You look at the nurses, guards, people who are incredibly important to the running of society that can't get a home anywhere near a hospital. They're expected to work in or a Garda station, whatever it may be. And they don't have, they've no hope.
You made a video that you put out on Twitter the other day, and I think one of the things you were stressing is that, I mean, you and I are at a certain point of our lives now, but you're saying this is about children.
100% about children. Look, the irony here is, and I don't want to get on anybody's back because they want to think well of the people that they put in power, but for consecutive governments are responsible. The behaviour of these consecutive coalition governments specifically are the reason these developers have been, these institutional, international financial institutions have been in to buy up everything. And their job is to maximise profits. And that has alienated people from being able to afford it. It's been a disaster bringing in...
Look, obviously people will argue on the other side of this that we needed that finance at the time. It wasn't there in the country, so we had to bring these guys in, and they are providing a lot of rental accommodation.
Yes, they are. The thinking was pile them high and sell them cheap to bring them in and get the developers in and get them tax breaks, which I just heard you mentioning, more tax breaks for developers. There has to be a government built here. The same way I grew up in Coolock, and around the same time that Tallaght and Clondalkin was built. They were built by corporation. They were built by the government. Yeah. It gave people, when I was very young, we were in a tiny place in the inner city, and it gave us a bit of freedom, a bit of dignity, being able to go out and having the hope to be able to achieve something.
So you were that generation that was moved out of town then into these big new corporations. And was it a good thing? It was good for
families? It was the most incredible thing. I'd never seen a wheat field. In my life, and I was moved out, and the place was, I was at one of the early stages, was like half built, and then you had Tallaght and Clondalkin, and all of these places that are new are going to have teething problems. That's why Coolock got a bad name. Doesn't have a bad name now. Tallaght got a bad name. Clondalkin, these things have to settle in because amenities weren't built at the time. They were always an afterthought. But it's incredibly important to give people, hope has been taken from people. And the other thing, people don't see the irony of when you were in school and I was in school, and I'm sure it's probably still going on. One of the biggest reasons for revolution in this country was absentee landlords. We had to get them out so the Irish could take the country back. And we've just handed it back over to absentee landlords. They're just now in the form of hedge funds and investment funds, and they're faceless. And it's... You know, I hasten to use the word, but it's treason.
If you're hastening to use the word, don't use it. And I think, in fairness, treason is a very strong word.
It is a strong word, but it's an emotive word, but we're not far away.
Okay, well, I think in fairness now, look, the current government are certainly throwing everything at it at the moment. Let's just get away from the use of the word treason.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it's probably
annoyed a bit, as you can imagine.
Yes, I can see that, and your passion is admirable. What needs to happen now, Solium?
It's building. It's the same as what happened when I was growing up in the late 60s and the mid 60s. There has to be a building programme because what's been designed to happen is not happening. I saw Sarah McInerney did a wonderful interview with the head of the LDA and where does the, was that Rathdown or whatever, 2018, Yeah, the head of the LDA gave an interview and said, we will be turning the sod on this and it'll be on. That was 4 years ago. Nobody in any houses out there yet.
Okay.
So they're already talking about, they have to do something about the planning authority. That's apparently a mess at the moment as well. Whether it's tied up in bureaucracy, it's just not happening quick enough. And this has been going on for ages.
And look, I think what people would say in fairness is that we're not coming from an ideal place in that we didn't build a lot of social housing for a long time.
Correct.
But we are back to building the kind of numbers we were building back in the good old days. I think we'll see 8,000 or 9,000 new built social houses this year.
It's nowhere near enough.
Yeah. And then I suppose people will say as well, well, how do we build more houses? Where do we find builders? Where do we...
Well, what happened just before the crash in the early 2000s? We had an incredible amount of construction. Anybody says it can't be done is talking crap, because it was done before the crash.
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous to say it can't be done.
I think another point you make as well, isn't it, is that this is not limited to a particular stratum of society, if you will.
100%.
You've talked about your own daughter. We've had her on the show.
She's interviewed her here.
She's a very bright young woman, highly educated and everything.
Yes.
Huge difficulty in getting somewhere to live.
Her and her husband, who was a PhD, he's an economist, he's a doctor of economics. 7 years they lived with us. They could not get a mortgage because this is exactly what I'm speaking about with the social contract. These are people, they're high flyers, right? I look at them in awe and they are denied the reward for the work that they put in, the hours and hours of working and staying up in the middle of the night trying to do PhDs and degrees and all that sort of stuff. And they've been laughed at when they were looking for a mortgage. And you're kind of going, you're leaving these, my daughter and her husband were looking to possibly go into Canada just so they could have a life. And they wanted to put roots down here because the country had invested in them and they wanted to return it. They have a real pride in where they live. And that was denied them. We nearly lost them. And I was one of those people when I was 22 years old, I ran off and left my mother crying while I went to live in Africa for 3 years. I went out of choice.
Yeah.
The idea of mothers and fathers seeing their children off because they're denied somewhere to lie down at night. I mean, when you've got, and you were talking about the stratas, when Dermot Desmond, right, who's a poster boy.
No,
I'm quoting, he put an article in the Irish Times talking about the financialisation of and the commodification of houses. He was talking about how wrong it is. Now, this is a guy who's, you know, he's a poster boy for capitalism.
Yeah.
When you've got, right, and you were talking about stratas, right across... the strike. This is not just, you know, working class people giving out about this.
Yeah,
it's right across every socioeconomic bracket are saying this has been a governmental disaster.
Yeah, yeah. And look, you would accept that this is, at the moment, this is a problem in every country as well. It is an international housing crisis.
Well, we are the highest.
Prices have jumped hugely everywhere in the last few years.
We are the highest in Europe for people into their 30s who are still living a home with mummy and daddy.
Yeah.
So we are, from that perspective, the worst.
Liam, just before you go, I want to ask you about something else, because another area that you're hugely passionate about is the issue of international migrants, refugees and all that. And
correct.
Obviously it is a big issue that we are, I suppose, grappling is the right word within
of
this
course,
country
everybody
at the moment.
Is.
And you're from around East Wall there, yeah. Have you been watching what's going on?
I've been
there?
Watching it a little bit. It's interesting to get a kind of a feel of who's there. And I was looking at some of the Twitter stuff. Have a look at some of the hashtag East Wall stuff and see who's fronting this stuff. They're extreme far right, appalling human beings. And I've always also had seen complaints on a Twitter feed, someone giving out about economic migrants, who was an Irish person living in Toronto.
Yeah.
Giving out about it. So this is the level of people you're dealing with.
Yeah. OK. Are you a member of a political party?
No, I am not aligned to anybody.
OK. All right. So you'll be marching today at 1 o'clock at Parnell Place. There.
Correct.
There is the roof march.
Correct. And come along. For the sake of your kids, come along.
And it'll be covered live here on Saturday with Katie Hannon as well after 1 o'clock. Liam Cunningham, thank you very much for coming into us this morning. We'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.